over against this contract the words of a man in my mouth. And the wellspring of wisdom was in the verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they've been looking at it and showing the truth.
Amen.
I'd like to speak to you tonight on the triumphs and the tragedies. The only way I know to handle any problem is to talk to someone. I don't believe in getting nothing. Sometimes it's Richard. But I bow my head up. I mentioned the word this time, and you went on. I said, our Baptist ones do that. Our Baptist ones, they give these gifts. They don't care about us getting them, so we don't compete. God bless you. So I'd like to talk a little bit about them. How many believe in the tongues?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Tongue doctors.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Except one call. I remember one person here, when I first came, you have to sing a song here. Tongue that I was listening on. Three. She had to be down over there. God will loose your tongue. You were speaking.
Yes, all right.
We speak in a beautiful language. This is a church that believes in that.
Right.
We don't
all right.
Buy records to learn how to speak in tongues.
No.
We don't follow after anybody's coach words or phrases.
Amen.
We must say,
come on.
We get ourselves all tangled up so we don't say any words without any intelligence. We believe that the Holy Ghost comes upon a person's life. And
yes.
We must be a the spirit.
Yep.
In any way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe there's many tongues to consider. Paul had this in mind when he wrote to us here in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 10. If we lay a little foundation. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Praise God. Many voices. And these, I might submit this thought. There are other tongues. And God uses other tongues.
Yeah.
If they don't ask, he was a rooster one time. Sure did. The Morning Star sang together. It mentions in the Canticles of Solomon that the voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land, and throughout this entire century, the cooing of heaven's dove has been heard. I'm sorry for that which is false, an imitation of the real, but there was a time, even in the Trinity Church, when you could receive the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody gets it there now. You say, well, brother, be careful what you're saying. No, there is a false spirit. Because if you get this Holy Ghost, it'll make you want to do this.
That's right.
It'll make you want to leave a church that can't feed you. And it's full of false doctrine.
All right.
And sin. And so on. It'll make you want a God call leader. And I thank God for these voices there. We read over here in Kings about the still small voice, and God does do that too. You see, to everything, God gives a voice. Sometimes speak of the whispers of the wind, or the sighing of the wind, or we might talk about the sea, the roaring of the sea, or the sobbing of the sea. There's many voices. The fish, they find in their training of them. They find that they understand that certain signals and sounds, and they find that they communicate one to another. Birds do the same. If you don't believe that, try going down south, or get out in the woods and listen to the turkeys or some other bird. They'll not only alarm and alert one another.
another, but anything else around.
All right.
Animals do have voices. They do. Fish, owl, whatever they are. These are ways that God has tried to get to us and reach us. And so God has given a little instrument to a human being, a little tongue. The tongue is a delightful thing. Through it, by it, we express the sentiments of our heart. I think this is such a beautiful way to express our feelings. A man is the only creature here that's able to think and act and react like this. Not so much as natural, but we analyze. God gave us, He just gave us words. And of course, these are the vehicles of thought. God gave you words. And this means that you can say, you can tell what's on the inside. Sometimes wish our animals could talk to us. Or do I? Sometimes I would like to know why the dogs don't seem to be acting good. They'll just look at you and wag their tail anyhow and limp around or sit way down, but they have a problem. Yet we can't reach them. But you and I have unlimited possibilities made available to us because of the expression here with words.
All right.
With our tongue. The wise man also wrote over here in Proverbs again, the tongue of the just is a choice silver. Note, in 12 and 18, he said the tongue of the wise is health. He said in 15 and 4, Proverbs, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Modifying what Adam lost, what a wholesome. 21 and 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Praise God for that. And so, if you're having a lot of trouble, why don't you try keeping your tongue? Watching your mouth.
Yes, sir.
That'll be a real blessing to you.
Yes, sir.
Your family will rise up and call you blessed. You'll find that people will be able to trust you.
Come on.
And place confidence in you.
Amen.
Just do that. Proverbs 25 and 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. This has been a favorite of mine, and this is yours too throughout the years. But isn't a good word always a lovely thing at the right time?
All right.
You know, we try to somehow express it if we can't do it of our own ability. We'll go and fetch a card or something, and we'll send someone else who has to always the words in such a lovely verse or a poem or whatever it is. We'll just give it to someone and they'll sign our name to it, but we mean what that says. And we always want to tell people what we think of them. But you better hurry if you have such thoughts. If everybody would do that, we'd have a better world. Don't just think it, just say it.
Amen.
It makes the lines in a tired face disappear. The stoop in weary shoulders, it makes them straight again. And the same in knees that are unsteady, somehow they firm up when they find your little word of encouragement. It's a beautiful thing to have wholesome words. And apples of gold are they, and pictures of silver. Praise God for it. And Job said it right when he said, the ear tried words. And you'd be surprised at how much you say that I know it falls to the ground, it's just senseless. But every now and then, I find that I receive so much help and comfort and strength just from a right word at the right time. Oh God, I wish I had the ability to speak the right word just at the right time. I can look back on my past and see that sometimes I have failed to say what I felt on my heart. And maybe they appear to be too busy and rushed about. But you don't know how much people need just what you can give. And this is true. I'm sure that there's a growing world. The scriptures say the whole creation is growing. And I'm sure the thing they need most is that proper word. Praise God. I have seen many problems and struggles down the years, And they belong to not only individual families, but church families. I have been a troubleshooter throughout my ministry. I've been a spiritual plumber. I've had to handle a lot of problems. But I'll tell you what, I have found that a soft answer turns away right. I found that out. I found that many lives have been spared because of the right word. And many friendships have been yet cemented fast because of the right word. Marriages were saved from the brink of severance just before, as they term in our day and modern vernacular, they split the blanket. Before they just went their several ways, maybe just a little word. Just, would you forgive me? Just, I was wrong. Just, I'm sorry.
All right.
But I promised to dedicate to re-give myself to God, to man. Just, that means so much, just the right word. I realize the woman has a choice of scripture here in the Bible. It says that her hair is given to her for her glory. Well, I'll tell you something else that's given to each of us for our glory, and that's our tongue. We can glorify God with that.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for such a revelation, such a blessing. Let your life be a benediction. And if you can say that right word, just the good word, it's the highest form of expression you can have. You don't realize perhaps what good your words can do.
All right.
They can change nations. You see, men realize the power of the word. And statesmen get into office because of that. And Hitler aroused the nation. There's a paper hanger that came along, and he got involved here in the Gestapo and all, and he ascended to the highest office, and finally he took charge of it all too. And when he got up there, he was able to so arouse people by his oratory. He drove them. As a matter of fact, he drove them to such a fury that they believed they were the supreme race on earth. And he was unstoppable. He had England on sleeves and the rest of the world backed up against the wall.
Right.
And in those times, they had others like Churchill, one of them, Russell, our old president here at the time, Roosevelt, and so on. Or we could talk about MacArthur as he had to leave the Philippines and in disgrace almost. Rushed off of Corregidor, the island, and he had to leave. They didn't have the men and the weapons to withstand the sustained attack from the enemy, who had momentum going at the time. But he said, I shall return. But he inspired all of our men in the Pacific Theater at that time simply because of the courage he displayed and the convincing manner in which he spoke. Praise the Lord. So there's so much we can do with the word. If you don't believe it, ask any child. The comfort, the strength, the healing power of a mother's word. As she cradles her child, or puts him in the lap and talks to him. And or of the soft hand just upon a fevered brow. Somehow it's better than all the prescriptions and all the doctors. Praise the Lord. And I wish that we would learn this. I really wish we would. And it's a shame that we don't, but there's so much comfort in that. So much help. I thank God for the inspiration. I thank God for the help I get from wise people, wise words they tell me. I have a friend out west. He always says, Brother Dallas, you're talking, give me some wisdom. No. We learn things, obedience to the things we suffer. I can give you some knowledge, but only God can help you understand what to do with it. After you get it, there's nothing else I can do. But I'm bringing this thought to you here tonight. Now remember that in your own mouth, You hold the power of life or death.
Right.
Your marriage, your life, your happiness, your salvation, everything about you, remember, you're the keeper of the key. You've got it right now. And if you lose out, I'm not going to be to blame, and no one else. Quit blaming anyone else, and remember that you have the key to your dilemma.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. No one can make you backslide from me. No preachers that he run me off. No. You are your own problem.
Right.
Amen. Now, what comes out of here is your business. You hate that. But if you don't learn how to control that, then remember, you're going to have a problem. And you're going to deal with it. Praise the Lord.
Right.
So, I'm bringing these little thoughts to you. I trust it somehow. I'm still told. Maybe I'll do that. You think that'll help me? All right. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start it out so slow. Turn him on fast forward and come out good.
Come on.
Many years ago, a man in this road walked. He walked the shores of that small little area called Palestine. And you know, when people heard him speak, it changed the whole picture. They forgot what they were doing. When the gracious words fell from his lips, a woman cried out once and said, "Blessed are the paths that thou hast sunk." And he said, "Yea, blessed is the word of God that they that keep."
Hallelujah.
You see, here was heaven's word that walked among men.
Amen.
And everywhere he went, deaf ears were unstopped. Crooked limbs were made straight. Diseased bodies instantly healed. Those who were in the throes of an awful fever and sickness or AIDS at the sound of the word, just the word, said here, the effect of the power of that word reached them over there. And dispelled all their problems instantly, because he was the word that spake this whole universe into existence.
Oh, yeah.
All right. There's power of the word. If we can understand the power of the word, we claim to be apostolic people, and we have forgotten some of the initial seeds they sowed in our hearts. In our young church days, when men made much of the name of Jesus, much of the power of that name, they cast out devils in that name. Praise God. They prayed for the sick in that name. I remember I had a young boy call me to receive the Holy Ghost this coming off the streets. And he called me, he said, "I feel good outside. I feel so odd, so strange." I said, "Where are you?" "Well," he said, "I'm here at my father's house." I said, "Who else is there?" He said, "I have this voice that's talking to me. I said, there's something driving me. He said, I feel odd, weird." I said, "Who's there?" He named his name. I said, "Has he ever been acquainted with spiritualism in any way?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Yeah!" I said, when these things begin to come to your mind and deal with your heart, you need to know what it's like to plead the blood.
Amen.
That's
right.
If you let the devil, he'll kick you by the nose of the ear and keep you around. Don't you know how to fight for your own soul? Have you learned the power of the name of Jesus?
Yes.
These people from Dallas or someplace else, Mexico, or on the radio, or I don't listen to it, but do you suppose that they have all the keys to this? They don't even know what the keys are all about. All they want is the keys to their their post office box. That's all we're doing. God,
they want to see you to the king.
Amen.
No shepherd, when he gets up to preach, he has to come against spirits that resist what he has to say. And then if you're not well in the gospel, they'll settle upon you.
Yes.
I promise you, they will lead you to destruction if you get your deliverance.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Heaven's word walked among men.
Yes.
Then were healed, resurrected. Marvelous miracles that were there, why, simply all brought about because of the word that he spoke.
Right.
And then men questioned it. Said, now this, he has some motive. He wants to draw people after him. Now they, I'll tell you what fascinated them was the word. Not only the miracles, but they even sent some spies, and the spies came and listened to him speak. And as they stood, they were listening close, because if a man speaks long enough, he'll say something that perhaps can be taken in the way that will give evidence of his mission here. On the other hand, let a man talk long enough, and he'll say something that can be used against him.
Right.
This is proper. This is just for all flesh. And in the passion of and the zeal of our preaching, sometimes we do that. We can take anything out of context, or maybe we could say it without forethought. And once in a while, we get so wrapped up spiritually and feel the anointing, we feel as bold as a lion. Feel like we can say anything. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned that from faith too.
That's all. All right.
But they stood there among the crowd and listened to the man in the seamless robe as he spoke. And suddenly those words began to weave themselves into the warmth and glow of their soul, their being, and take residence there. And then suddenly they just felt so warm and so thrilled and so blessed, and the word began to lift them up, and suddenly they saw what he was saying. And when he was done, and he went his way, and the crowd dispersed, and they slowly wended their way back home. And when they got to the chief priest, here they were, these little old greedy Jews, again, because of Tom. And they just rubbing their hands. Now, surely these men are our chief investigators. Perhaps you find out now words of by which we might use against him. And did he entrap himself in any way with his? But he was speaking out there. They had that far off look in their eyes.
Hallelujah.
Well, what did you find out that still caught away in the glory of one answer? Never managed. Never managed.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like this. Yeah. Hallelujah. Never managed.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
This is
Hallelujah.
The
time.
Yes.
When we lift up Jesus Christ to see of our heart, that were so burdened down with sin, and when they bow themselves at an altar, smite their breast, and salty tears of contrition cascade down on our rugs or altars of wood, whatever we have, and when people just wallow down there and say, God, I have nothing, but the man preached to me tonight that you can help me. And when they hear that word, and fasten their little trembling, faith-like fingers around that.
Yeah.
And hold on for dear life and say, this is all I've got to go by. Praise God, faith comes because they hear the word.
Amen.
Praise God. And then the devil says, you'll never make it, you can't. But they're holding on to what we say. And when we see homes put together, and lives transformed.
Yeah.
Then we've got to spend all the time of the tongue.
Yeah.
We could go on and pick out people, individuals, and let you testify and say, tell me, what has he done for you? And it'll all sum up the same way.
Right.
You don't know like I know.
All right.
What he's done for me.
Yeah.
Praise God. And so I do want to say to each of you who are seated here, in my hearing tonight, truly are a trophy of this grace. All brought about because somebody preached to you this word.
Thank God.
You are not the product of something out there.
That's right.
That was no hippie music, no rock and roll thing to capture your heart.
No.
There wasn't any.
Hallelujah.
Any speaker here, any gifted person of song or speech making from the world without any dedication. That's not what brought me in. And I heard some good ones years ago. I mean, as far as ability was concerned, I remember listening to Charles Price. Never preached the same sermon twice in his life. He hasn't dedicated. Every time he got up to speak, there was something to hear. And I've heard some fine speakers, but that don't mean anything. Oh, I'm glad for the time somebody preached on me. All I heard was what God did.
Yeah.
This skinny boy at that time got down in Fresno, California, and bowed his knees and said, God, I'm done. I'm done. It's been a long time ago now, but I want heaven to know I'm still through. And I want hell to know that I'm done too.
Praise the Lord.
I'm just thankful that somebody spoke. And it caused me to praise God. What else to bring to my ears tonight? The scriptures are here in the book of Psalms, 140, first division of Psalms, verses 3 and 4. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to do any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let me speak a little now in the presence of the coming. Praise the Lord. I don't mind telling you there are many, many things that I have found in my life that I regret, that I have been party to. I have aided and abetted a lot of tongue talking that was not for most of us. Praise the Lord. You're not hearing me yet, but you're going to reply to that.
Go ahead, Elton. All right.
Praise the Lord. Listen to what the man of God said. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth.
Yes.
What are you keeping? You better watch your mouth.
All right.
This is a fine lesson here to talk. Here at your little, this is really a little missionary conference to have a good winter. And maybe we should be speaking missions. But I'm going to talk about the most important problem we have in any of our churches, organizations, fellowships, or anything else, and that is a tongue out of control.
Amen.
And I want you to make up your mind tonight whether you are going to aid and defend hell or are you going to speak for God.
All right.
Make up your mind what side you want to be on. Because I promise, if you don't want to give your heart and your mouth and tongue to God, you're going to give it to the devil.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes. You say, well, Brother Ballester, what? How can I set a watch? Well, this is why you need to be careful. People think talk is cheap, and they think it's just easy just to go along and say what they want. I gave them a piece of my mind. Name me a sin that isn't accomplished without the help of your tongue.
All right.
I see. There may be one. I don't know. I'm asking somebody to jar my memory here. Praise the Lord. Let me talk to you about this tongue and what it'll do. I'm sorry that these things get to us sometimes, but God knows we've had a lot of problems. You used to talk about runaway horses last century, then runaway autos after they came, but have you ever heard of a runaway tongue?
Yeah.
A tongue out of control is ample evidence of a life out of control. And you don't go to heaven without, unless you have some restrictions of government about you. Unless you have proper procedures.
possession of your faculties, and if you can't take charge and control of your mouth, your heart's dirty.
Amen.
Or how is it you're going to be speaking?
Right.
Yes.
Glory. Praise the Lord. I'm sure that there are more people killed by a runaway tongue than they had a runaway horse or a runaway autos.
Right.
We talk about hit and run, it goes on in Pentecostal churches all the time.
Right.
We've got the best grapevine than anybody in Pentecostal truth.
Amen.
No matter where you are, you look around and say, Brother Bowser, people call me. They call me to Brother Bowser, have you heard the latest? I'm out of anybody here. I'm the last one in my church to know what's going on. The last one in our little fellowship to know what's going on. You say, well, how come? Because I'm not anxious to know. People find
all
it.
All right.
You know why people like to come to you? Because perhaps you have an ear that's so ready to hear. Praise the Lord. I've been cleaning my ears out every day.
All right.
That's what was my answer for. Praise the Lord. I'm not anxious. Something. Now know what it says. Now watch by your mouth. There's a reason for that. If you don't watch, you'd be surprised what you'd be prompted to say. And the sweetest peace in a home can be, it can be a boiling, burning cauldron in just a little while because of some hasty, loud, angry word.
That's right.
So
that's
sad. A few years ago, a number of years ago now, Reader's Story years, now that I think of it, Reader's Digest had an article about Westinghouse's invention, and it mentioned in there that they turned this machine on, and they said, you will soon be able to hear the Gettysburg Address, you will hear even the words of Christ hanging on the cross. Those seven words, or any other event in history, because every word that men speak is still in existence. When you talk, you say, well, nobody heard that. I was in the room, or around in the back, or across town, but it's still there. Those vibrations are yet in existence, pulsating, going on and on and on and on. It mentioned even that they turned the radio on and heard a program. And you know they have a chart of every program that is broadcast every day. And here was one that had been broadcast 8 years previous. Had not been duplicated nowhere. And yet when they turned it on, why, here it came in over the airway. 8 years later, it came back again. You say, how can that be? I'm telling you what the article said. And it says, every word we say is out there. Meet yourself, friend, at the judgment seat. Jesus said, every idle word.
Yes. Amen.
And a man speaks. He is called to give an answer to the Lord at the day of judgment. You say, well, words are cheap. No, they're costly.
Yeah.
And your words are going to deliver you or they're going to damn you. And that's why you have to be careful what you say. You can't afford to be that reckless I'm talking about tonight. You're having the power of life or death in the tongue. And if you ever need to be careful and choose of how you talk, you better do it now. As close as we are to the coming of the Lord. I have a phone in reaching here this minute too. But I want each one of you to consider what this preacher's telling you.
Amen.
Now, I pastored this church for a few years, and I did my best. I want to thank you for your cooperation. And I will say that you are very thoughtful, considerate people. I thank you for that. I appreciate all the thoughtful things that did. I remember the cakes we would have and the surprise of party they would give for me. It made me feel really, really touched inside. I cannot express myself in the way that my wife does. But I feel deeply. I really do. And I think after it's over, I go home and I think about it. You don't know how I bless the saints. I really do. And I thank God for each one of them. And I look at them and their pitiful problems. And it touches me. I want everybody helped and blessed. I remember there's not here in this church. They want to get a protection. There's God here. Lord, get him out. He said, that's what you know. I'm glad to see some people that have enough courage to stand up and say, I don't like you. All right, then I know who you are, where you are. I can win you. Make you my friend. Now, the thing that's hard to take is the people that don't want to show their faith. I'm not worried about the Great Tribulation. You say, what are you up to, Chris? They will tell you. But at the same time, I'm not worried about that. No, sir, I've had enough tribulation since I've been a preacher to make up for all 7 years, for 70 years, whatever you want to have. Praise the Lord. It would be a pleasure to meet us. A real antagonist out there that is an Antichrist and says, I hate you. Kind of have whispering words behind your back.
Yeah, man.
Right. Satan has torn up more churches than this real devil ever had.
All right. Yeah.
Ain't going to happen tonight.
Preacher,
all
right.
That's why you're all over town. You got messed up my hand. Because let the devil do you so much.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, preach! Hallelujah! Glory!
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Somebody with Brother James has to say for a reason. Oh.
All right.
James says in chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Wait a minute. People don't realize how much damage they can do. Would you think, you Pentecostal people, would you learn, please, in the name of Jesus? You cannot build up the church if your tongue isn't sanctified.
Yeah.
Come on,
preach! You don't know how to talk like.
Glory to God, glory to God. Come on.
The tongue is a fire world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members.
All right.
And it defileth the whole body.
Amen.
And set it on fire on the course of nature.
Yes.
And it set on fire of hell. You know why the world is an immensity? The tongue is.
Tongue is.
It's set on fire the course of nature.
Yes.
All right. I mean, the whole world is suffering because it's so on fire.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
It was the devil's mouth that got right into this mess.
Yes.
And we get into this mess because he got it out of
our mouth. All right.
That's a real conflict.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. Get on fire of hell. Look at him talk like that hell is. Get on fire of hell.
Yeah.
Hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Couch the words.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I don't know what it says then. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
Yeah.
Boy, when I stopped at Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and I said, Mother, I want my youth coat. She's a very conservative person. She said, oh, man, this week, I can afford it. No, I said, yes, ma'am. Money right here. Well, I said, oh, it's, here it is. It's November. Come alone. Be closed. No, she said, I just ran her out before. That's what it's fine. And so we got out of this department. So it's been there in the mall. And we went out. This was a Saturday. And we got out and went back to the preaching in the area. So, right after we left, there was a young lady and her mother went to that same rack that I tried to get my mother on the first. And she put on a nice coat before the importation of India. And as she did, she thrust her hand into the pocket and took it out. Pinched here by a pin and stuck, and then when I was there and reached in again and he did it again, and she said, "Come forward." He took the coat off, began to feel a little odd, and hung it up, walked to the door and got there. And so when they checked the coat, they found it had a small hole in the bottom. Don't you know that there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost to give us power over the tongue?
Yeah.
Is it small wonder why God would let that be the evidence of our getting the Holy Ghost?
All right.
And I guess it ought to be evidence of our not having the Holy Ghost in us when we let our tongue go wild.
All right.
Isn't it strange that you want to church people because of some awful sin, maybe of some moral shocking sin? Here they'll go, and it'll affect their marriage, their home, their family name, their character, and hitch hang low. And then, of course, we will impose upon them such rigid restrictions because of what they fail with. At the same time, we will lead in our services, in our churches, on our platforms, in our pews, and in positions in the assembly, people whose tongues were set on fire of hell.
Yes. Right.
I don't mind telling you, I've never put up with an adulterer.
All right.
I've never put up with a Mary Magdalene. I've never put up with somebody in trouble with God that'll hang their head and speak to rest and say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, come I want to be saved."
All right.
And to have some person with a tongue out of control.
All right. All right.
Proceeded blessing and cursing my brother these things. Ought not so to be. I have this. Some of you, a little phrase in short verses sometimes, and they command your compromise. Let me tell you a secret. I'll be your friend if you would.
All right.
Every seven of you will do right if you repent.
Yes, sir.
I'll go to pastor you there tonight, anytime, anywhere.
Yes.
Anytime,
anywhere. Amen. True.
I don't care what you said or done to me, I'm nothing. But I ask one thing. When you come, make sure you're coming.
Yes, sir.
For that old world.
Amen.
Be honest with God. Do what He says.
Right.
I'm just an instrument. And in His hand, I want to be. And if I can be of any use to this cause of kingdom, I certainly I offer myself for that. But we cannot have anything to present to God that He's going to accept unless we want our tongues right. We're talking about the Bible, brethren. And when we want to have a real move of God, I'm praying, well, praying is great, we better pray. The first thing I'm telling you to do is get your tongue right.
Yes.
Learn to speak closely.
Yes.
Learn to bless God.
Right.
Quit barbecuing evangelists and roasting pastors.
Yes, all right.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
Kiss the Bob and all the saints around here.
Right.
Yes. And make sure that when the presence of your child, you lift up Jesus.
Yes.
Let them hear you bless the name of God.
Amen.
Get out on your knees and read the Bible to them. Pray by the bed. Lay hands on them if you have to.
Sure.
Yes. Praise God. Let them hear the voice of heaven. Don't let it be a shocking thing when suddenly they hear you say, "Praise God."
All right.
I don't think they'll hear what's thinking. He was like a man God ain't mine when he said, "Let us make man." Took his little old thin wife, he'd come to church with purple marks on his neck where he'd choke her. Little kid would get him by the hair of the head and beat their heads against the wall. I went to his welding shop. I said, "Look, you, if you get out of that seat and try to run these aisles and walk around here and play the hypocrite tonight, I will throw you out of this church." He said, "Well, you're not big." I said, "Oh, I'm not big." I said, "Ushers." Praise the Lord. Why? He said, "Please don't forget. I don't want anybody to curse the church. I'm pastor."
That's right.
I want God to receive what we're having.
Yeah.
You understand? God will stop His ears.
All right.
At some of our worship.
Amen.
You can force your worship all you want to, but if your tongue's not right and your heart's not right, God hates it.
Amen.
I said, God hates it.
Amen.
Don't you make a hypocrite out of yourself.
Amen.
Now, I want you to use care when you talk about a third person.
you start talking about someone, I want you to try to do your best to lift them up and be right. Yeah. I know. If you see a tall fellow ahead of the crowd, a leader of men marching fearless and proud, and you know a tale who's near telling loud, but cause his proud head to an anguish be bowed, it's a pretty good plan. If you know of a skeleton hidden away, in a closet and guarded and kept from the day, in the dark whose showing, whose sudden display, would cause grief and sorrow and lifelong dismay, it's a pretty good plan for me. If you know of a spot in the life of a friend, we all have spots to see the world without end, who's touching his heartstrings with sadden or end, 'tis a shame till the shame of its showing no grieving could rend. It's a pretty good plan. If you know of a thing that will darken the joy of a man or a woman, a girl or a boy, that will wipe out a smile or the least way annoy a fellow or cause any gladness to cry, it's a pretty good plan. Super. What you say? Well, I want to talk to you, minister. If any saint in your church or in your revival, you ever hear of somebody that's coming and bears their heart, so I want to get right with God, and they're sincere, and you take their sin and their name and go across this country and blacken their name, you have been become an instrument of the devil, and you have hurt the cause of God.
All right. Come on.
What advantage would it be for a person to repent and then come up and say, I want to get all straightened, and they'd never be able to hold their head high again because somebody wanted to talk? Are you so weak? Are you so addle-brained and feeble that you have no other known ability or advantage except some little choosy morsel here that you think would be tasty? Somebody would just relish this little gossip. And maybe that will make you for a moment feel important if you tell it. I wish you'd learn to tell about Jesus. I wish you'd learn how to speak encouragement or hope or help. It's the wonderful people you're born with. Yes. Praise the Lord. I have some more scriptures I'm going to read to you. I'm talking about the fragments I'm trying to pick up. I'm sincere when I take you out of the I want to talk to you about some of the company we have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Would you please note here, as the apostle points out, the company that revilers are in. A reviler, he's teamed up here with abusers of self, teamed up with thieves, drunkards, effeminate, fornicators, adulterers. That's pretty fast company, I think. Tell me the difference between a whoremonger and a rumormonger. They're all one. Praise the Lord. And you're no better than a $3 bill. You're no better than a thief. You're no better than an adulterer. If you will not take your tongue and sanctify it and speak rightly. Hear that. Do you realize one of the commandments? Thou shalt not bear false witness. You'd be surprised at some of the rumors people hear that aren't truth at all.
Amen.
And they will tell that. Did you know that James said if you break one of those commandments, you broke all of them?
Amen.
That means all of you who let your mouth run free
say what you want here in the idle tale, and do not have anything to substantiate it, yet you get out there and say it hoping that it's right. Maybe you want to believe all that bother. And then after telling all that, they find out it's not so.
Uh-huh.
What do you do then? Well, I won't tell it anymore. Oh, you've already ruined people. How are you going to patch it up? How many of you can remember how many folks ever got up in church and got lied about you? I told rumors and tales about you and they weren't true. I'm sorry, forgive me, I want to be saved. Have you heard that lately? No. No, they don't go on in Pentecost. We're too sick and proud to stand up alone like they used to do it in the middle of the night. If we had the real Holy Ghost in our churches these days, people would have tears running down their cheeks and say, Saint, God, give me! I lied about you. I have spread rumors. If they weren't true in the name of God, why do you want to repeat it?
All right. Amen.
Praise God. Turn into Proverbs again, chapter 21, verse 18. Listen to it. Verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a moth, and a sword and a sharp arrow. You ever see a moth? Any man that's ever split wood, worked out guns? See a moth? God knows the sledgehammer blows that have been directed against the saints of God. Our worst enemies come now from within.
Sure.
Praise the Lord. The devil has come into the field of God and so cares. Some people sitting in this very church tonight, you are nothing but terror. You never will be weak. You never were.
All right.
The devil sold you in our church.
All right.
Mono. Character assassinated.
All right.
They need to break down the efforts of the people of God. Try to hammer your faith into the ground. And there are sharp swords and daggers and arrows.
All right.
Now, what do we have to plead the blood and wrestle on the sword?
Oh,
get victory and get on top of all that.
Oh.
We have to love God. Come in our hearts. I said, now look, here are these people coming, and they want to. Told me it's a better option.
Well, I just put off the grave. I didn't know I offered. I'll be honest with God to pray. And so I got down and prayed. As I prayed, God told me, I could bank. You're going to shout me. So I said, well, we've got to load that train. We're going to go south bank. Well, they have me even decided on the pastor. I don't know. God told me I'm going to south bank. I'm going to south bank.
All right.
I don't know what God thought for me.
Praise God.
I sold my car to get here. Another Baptist, the one that bought this church, they sent him $500 to come on. They sent me a dime. I don't care.
All right.
All right. I'm out here. Next time. Praise the Lord.
All right.
I just told you what happened. You have fooled all of them. I don't like your face.
Praise God.
And so I was in the preaching a little bit, trying to help. And I saw, well, what we're going to have to do here is try to reveal people and get a stand. If I preach to you, stand with a book. Stand with a book. Your book's right. If all you have, if fellowship with a friend, you still haven't got it right.
Amen.
If all that you have is I love the music of that church, you still haven't got it right. Or I love that preacher and his beautiful style. I'm glad that you have a preacher that has a beautiful style. I'm glad that he's affectionate, personable, and I'm thankful for all of that. But you still better fall in love with this man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know why, sir? I don't want to be lost.
Right.
I walked out of that church in San Miguel where I started preaching. They had 400 and something. And I came in the one that had 40. I was preaching in the one that said to little old, some of them had 10, 15, 20. I had a man come, said, I'm a superintendent of this Northwest, another denomination. I want to keep your church if you got 500 in it. And I'm telling you, the early gold is 500 in the church. And so I said, no, that's really important. No, that's really important. I stayed there and Brother Adams had that little church there in Washington. I was preaching. I walked in there and said, I was going to preach. I said, no, thank you. I want one more preacher. He said, what'd you do? I went in prayer room and said, God, I want you to forgive me. I want you to help me. Here's this man. He wanted me to take that church, and I don't sound like a positive enough son of God. I don't know what to do. They think that I need to take
them. All right.
No standards, nothing else. No, no, this is the way I'm going.
Great God.
I placed my heart a long time ago.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Now, who is our problem? Malls, shock swords,
all right.
Arrows.
Right.
You shoot them at the song leader. Shoot them at the...
Come on.
Shoot them at the preacher.
Come on.
Kill them all you want to. I'm down on the whole armor of God.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Go on home and spend the rest of the week sharpening them up. Get ready for this Sunday. Or the other time, I still have open the whole armor
of
God.
Yeah,
believe it. I'll tell the saints everywhere I've been, but not enough. Devils in hell to find the man of God when you make the plan.
That's all right.
All right. I know what I'm talking about. We come try to preach for a sinner, or somebody's praising a preacher in a church, and then begin to squeeze on you. We've been around long enough to know how to drop that point and get back on you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, now listen to me, children. If you really want help from God, nobody here but us tonight, we just preach here and all a little bit. But I hope that you realize we have the power of life and death, of life and death in our country. Is there any help there? Is there any bomb in Gilead? Have you not longed and aspired and yearned and cried and sobbed for a revival? What revival do we want? Well, I wish we had a revival of conscience. Not only a revival of prayer, but just a revival of being loving, caring. So well, you're not very loving. Well, this is pretty pleasing. I have to do this. Every now and then, if we don't, you'd be surprised what gets into our system.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised Conway's standing here again. We have to do this.
Right.
And a man loves you when he is preaching to you what he's talking about.
Right.
It's
There's security in a place where somebody will tell you what's wrong.
Right.
If somebody overlooks your flaws, perhaps those flaws are fatal. And then what?
Uh-oh. I got it.
Oh. So I want to bring this talk to you in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 6. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. It's always improper to try to give you a diagnosis of your problem without presenting it to you. And here, the great prophet Isaiah, he has come now with this cure for our time. Oh, let me remind this church especially. Do you remember when we had a revival here? In the summertime when there was such a move of God that we opened the windows. Of course there was no air conditioning. We just blew the big fans in the back. Do you remember all the neighbors on the streets? Mm-hmm. This side of the street here and across the street there, night after night, week after week after week. Do you remember the songs? How lustily you sang. Do you remember you sang until your throats were sore as you worshipped your God? As we carried you home drunk, you couldn't ride? Speaking in tongues, you're out of the spirit. Do you remember staggering up from the prayer rooms and falling on your face here?
Oh,
two or three or four of you laying on like dead men in the aisle.
Yes. Yes.
What's happened? Talk. Has it helped you? You thought you were right, perhaps, but surely the Holy Ghost has talked to you. Do you feel good about it now? Just a moment. The seraphim. You say, what are they? Well, these were creatures. Many interpretations for this message, let me say. The seraphim had six wings. You'll find the cherubim and seraphim in the Bible. They both are associated with the work of the sanctuary. If you are a student of the tabernacle, as you go through the tabernacle in its typical teaching, you will know that everything in there portrays Christ. Whether it's the veil or the table of shewbread, the candlestick, the two altars, the brazen and the golden, whether it's the priest or the lamb upon that altar, all of it, the fire, name it, the vestments of the priest and all of this is emblematic, represented here, Christ is all through there. And then, of course, into the second veil, or the Holy of Holies, we find there is the
Ark of the Covenant. You remember what was contained therein? There was the tables of stone for the Ten Commandments. And there was the rod that Aaron had, which flooded overnight, the Alamon Creek staff he had. And there was the old man, very thin. Everything in there. When the priest went through, he sprinkled blood. All of this portrays is typical, emblematic, with his teaching Jesus did all. He did it all. There was none else could save. Therefore, his own arm brought him salvation.
Yes.
Praise God. No, none could help. And he looked without earth's scheming, sobbing millions. No help but God. And he came down. And no. And we find cherubim. Who and what are these? They face one another. One here and one there. The ark between them, like so. And the blood is sprinkled on the mercy seat. And these creatures are facing one another. They have two wings. Two of these wings they use to cover the face. Two cover their feet. The two they're used for flying. Praise the Lord. Throughout the tabernacle, everything is a story of redemption. But yet, there was nothing in there that says what is the object or the fruit of redemption. Man. The Lord is living just off of the cross. No angel could be placed in a figure like this. God carefully, distinctly told Moses, don't make any representation, no image of anything in heaven or on earth. I remember as a young boy when I left the county church, I was preaching a revival somewhere down in Texas. I looked over here at the bleeding heart of Jesus and Mary and everything. I took them broke over the pulpit. I don't want that. I got out of there. Preached another place in the Los Angeles area. They had another picture there. Here's some lady preached to the elder. She got down there and she saw this picture of Jesus with the thorn crown on the cross and he was on the cross. She's praying on it. Get all that stuff off. Besides, he's not on the cross anymore.
Amen.
He's risen.
Right. Hallelujah.
He's risen. Praise the Lord. Moses says you can't make any representation, any likeness of anything in heaven or on earth. Lord. All right. So then he takes these beings, there's nothing like that, we've never seen before. These are just representative images portraying of what we shall be. You say, well, Brother Osbury, you mean that's, man, that's the church in the Old Testament? In my mind, and in New Testament. Now, with the seraphim means the burning one, the cherubim, the shining one. But let me say here that we have these beautiful creatures that cover their face. God give us people that will know how to exercise and hold humility in our day. We do not have enough people that know how to close their eyes.